Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. I am so glad that you are here. Wherever you're listening from, whether you're in the carpool line or you have your earbuds in at work or you're walking around the neighborhood or thinking about what to make for dinner, we are so glad that you are here in our home for prescribing hope for healthy families. I hope you've been listening in to our 52 Habits for Healthy Parenting. Every week, I am giving a new healthy habit to adopt that will really, if you're consistent over time and just do the best that you can and give yourself grace when you don't have your best, you will be amazed to see the progress that you can make over a year. So we started this in January. We have prayer, we have memorizing scripture, we have plugging into a local church, listening to Christian music. We've talked all about gratitude, and this week, all this whole week, we're going to be talking about listening with your face. So tune in because we'll be exploring that in more detail. But today, I have a very special treat for me and for all of you. I have really, truly one of my favorite authors on the entire planet. We are so blessed to have Robin Jones Gunn with us. Now, Robin was in the first grade when her teacher wrote this on her report card. Robin has not yet grasped her basic math skills, but she does keep the entire class entertained at rug time with her stories. I think that is so cute. And many years later, it was Robin's husband who encouraged her gift for storytelling. He urged her to attend a writer's conference and take classes. And those steps led to the publication of devotions, articles, interviews, 15 children's books. I mean, her books have gone literally around the world, translated into different languages. Robin and her husband have two grown children and four grandchildren, and they live in California, where she writes in rhythm with her life verse. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God, Acts 20:24. So if you need a Monday pick-me-up, here it is. Robin, welcome to the show.
Jessica, it's so fun to be back. You just amaze me. You just do so many really great things that help people out, and I love that.
Well, you know, the 11, 12, 13-year-old me, I've told you this before, with the Coke bottle glasses, the pastel Argyle sweater vest, and, you know, the pleated pants and saddle loafers, who's hiding in her closet at 1 o'clock in the morning because she cannot wait until tomorrow to finish a Christie book, is just overly thrilled at your words, really, truly. And, you know, honestly, Robin, I've shared this before, but you didn't even know me then, but you discipled me. And I know that you have heard this testimony from so many women, so many young women, so many older women now, as we are all growing up with you. But you really did show me what it could look like to be a teenage girl who walked with the Lord. So I would love for you to share with our listeners your story of how you came to know the Lord and that journey that turned into a calling from God to be a writer.
Yeah, sure. I just know that the Lord had his hand on my life from early on, as he does with all of us. But it was after growing up in a family that went to church and being so familiar with church and the culture of church. But at 12 years old, I went to summer camp, and it was at camp the last night when the speaker said, God doesn't have any grandchildren. Either you are a child of God or you're not. And I realized it isn't just growing up in a Christian home and because my parents go to church. I wanted to be a Christian. I wanted to give my life to Jesus. And that was the night that I surrendered my life to him. I wanted to be a missionary. I wanted to just serve him and tell people about his love. And from then on, it was just growing in him in a very good, strong church that we were in. And in high school, I started a Bible club on my campus, and I went to a Bible college, and I did missions work when I was in my 20s, and married a man who was finishing seminary, and then he went into youth ministry. So it's just been this growing journey of not only coming to know the Lord at a young age, but just falling in love with Jesus over and over again and seeing his faithfulness.
Well, and that is such a beautiful testimony. It is. And I think, you know, there are a lot of people who can relate to you, Robin, thinking, you know, I don't have some big tragedy or something like that. But there is such beauty in faithfulness and just being called to the Lord and walking with Jesus. And I'm so grateful that he called you further to become a writer. And I have to tell you, the first time that I heard you say that it was not easy and that your books were rejected, I was shocked. I thought, how could that happen? So tell us how you navigated that challenge. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, did you know what you were missing out on? How did you navigate that and then come to be the author that you are today?
Well, it helped that I didn't really ever dream of being a writer or set out as a young woman to get the right kind of training and education to be a writer. It was something that just the doors kept opening and opening. And as you said at the beginning, it was my husband who sort of pushed me through those doors. I was so mad at him when he sent me to my first writer's conference. I felt like I am an imposter. I can't be a writer, only really important and famous people are writers. But it was at that conference that I began to learn. It's a craft. It's a process. You show up, you do the hard work, you knock on all the doors. And I found that as the years went on and I was writing some devotions and articles and then children's books and then novels and gift books and nonfiction, and I mean, it's now over 100 books that have been published, but it was just each step. And along the way, there were continual rejections, especially with, I know we want to talk about the Christy Miller series, mm-hmm. because that was so tender, you know, it has such a tender spot in your heart. But those books came about, an entire series, novels for teenagers, wholesome, God-honoring. That series came about because we were doing youth ministry, and the girls in our youth group were reading all these books that I just didn't want them putting that information in their 13-year-old hearts. And I challenged them, can you find something else to read? Does your mother know this is what you're checking out at the library? Like, these books are not what I'm teaching you each week in Sunday school. It's not the same honoring God stories. And so they challenged me and said, well, why don't you write books for us? You've written all these children's books. What if we tell you what to write? And so it was just a journey taking their challenge. And for 2 years, I would write, and then every week I would meet with these girls. I would read to them what I had written, and they would tell me everything that was wrong with it, everything I didn't understand. And I would go back to work and write some more. And during that time, I was sending off the first three chapters to publishers. 10 different Christian publishing houses turned down the series, saying, we just don't see a need for books like this. But I knew. I knew the girls. I knew what they were reading. I knew there was a need. And it just started to burn with, it was a fire in my belly that even if I just finished these books, the first book, I thought there would only be one book, one and done. But no, God had a big plan. But just that book would be finished and be able to have that kind of input in the heart and in the life of a young woman to turn her heart to Jesus. And so when the first book was picked up by Focus on the Family Publishing, right when they started publishing years ago, and within 3 weeks, we had the first letter from a reader who said, when I got to the part in the book where Chrissy stopped and realized she'd never turned her life over to Jesus, I prayed right along with Chrissy, and I gave my life to the Lord. Mm. I'm 14 years old. Please write more books like this. I want to know how to keep growing in my walk with Jesus. And after that, it was just, let's go. More books. Keep going.
Oh, my goodness, Robin. I love that. I mean, it is really amazing to see. And if you're listening out there, it doesn't matter if you're an aspiring writer or not or what it was. But Robin, what I got from your story is that you were a Sunday school teacher with one small group of girls who wanted to make an impact in their life. So you followed the Lord's leading that led to 100 books being published and 6 million copies being distributed all over the globe, all that came from a Sunday school class. Did I get that right?
Yeah, and God did that. I mean, but it's us showing up and being obedient and doing the hard work. And you know this so well. You just remain faithful mm-hmm. and trust Him. And then what He does, that increase and those lives that are touched, that's what matters for eternity. And pretty soon, all these other things just don't have so much appeal. It's just, we are made for eternity. God has put eternity in our hearts. How do we get to young people? How do we get truth into their hearts to show them they were created for so much more? And books, movies, it's one way mm-hmm. to do that. And that's why it just, like I said, it's this fire in my belly. More, more.
Well, you're right, because stories are very emotional and stories move us to action and they impact us in ways that sometimes maybe lessons don't. You know, if we're just teaching that Sunday school lesson, you don't remember it. The truth is you don't remember it as well as you remember the power of a story. And when I look at the stories that kids are consuming today, it's stories that are not reflective of the values of a biblical worldview, that are reflecting, like you said, of the knowledge of coming to Christ. And I got goosebumps when you talked about that girl calling in to say, or writing to you to say, hey, I accepted Christ when I read that. And you have also had people, readers from all over the world, who have read your books after they were translated into other languages. So tell us some of those stories, speaking of stories.
Yes, well, I love those stories because, I mean, since that first letter, I received, I don't know, maybe hundreds. I didn't count. But, yeah, hundreds of letters from girls who are now women, too, that was a turning point in their life, reading that book, understanding what it meant to surrender their lives to Jesus and to live for Him and to trust Him for their future husband and what He wanted them to become as they grew up. So years ago, maybe I think it was 18 years ago, I went to Brazil with my husband because the publisher in Brazil that had translated the Christy Miller books into Portuguese invited me to come and speak in the high schools, in the churches, at bookstores. And I went on that trip, I wasn't well. I'd had a root canal that just kind of exploded, and I was on medication, and I was just a mess, and my face was all swollen. And it was just one of those times with so much opposition, but when we got there, we just saw this field ripe unto harvest and this chance to share with all these young hearts. And what God has done over the last almost 2 decades with these Christy Miller books in Brazil, I'm now hearing about because those young women have grown up. They now have daughters reading the books. They are able to either translate their letters for me from Portuguese to English, or they've learned English. And the letters are just remarkable because not only did they read the books, make a choice to surrender to the Lord, but then they are now telling me how God has worked in their lives.
Amen. Robin, that is amazing. Hold that thought. We're going to revisit it right after break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Did you know the abortion pill accounts for over 50% of all abortions? Preborn Ministry continues to stand with women in crisis in their darkest hour and bring hope and life. After Marissa took the abortion pill, she immediately regretted it, but Preborn was there for her.
Look at that baby. Look how beautiful he is. Look at that. Abortion pill reversal actually works. Let's hear his heartbeat. Oh, look how strong it is. Oh, praise God.
By God's amazing grace, this baby was saved, but many more need our help. To learn how you can be a part of rescuing babies' lives and sharing the heart of Jesus, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com, or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back to a conversation I've been so excited to have with Robin Jones Gunn. She's an author. She's written over 100 books that have been sold, that have sold more than 6 million copies. And I probably bought, 3,487 of them because I love all of her books. But she's such an encouragement to me and discipled me even before she knew me. And before the break, we were talking about just the wonderful journey that she had from going to, from being a Sunday school teacher to writing this book for her Sunday school class, and then seeing God take it to all around the world, to Brazil, and translating it in Portuguese. So Robin, I want to let you be able to finish that story and tell about any other readers that you've heard from and make sure we wrap that up.
Well, what was so amazing about that, hearing from these young women in Brazil, as I said, it's been almost 20 years since the books came out, and I was down there visiting, speaking in the schools and churches. And now I'm hearing from these women who have become writers as well, and they've taken up the torch, and they are writing the kinds of God-honoring books that the girls in their culture need to read. And one of the women sent me a little note, and she said, I want you to know that all of us writers of fiction here in Brazil for the Christian publishing houses, we call you the mother of Christian fiction in Brazil. I thought, I have to tell Jessica, because the nurse mama, and now I'm the nurse, the Brazil mama of fiction.
The Brazil mama.
But, I mean, that's just, it's really those planting of seeds that all of us do in our lives without ever realizing. It's just a small thing. It's just a small act of obedience. And yet when it grows up, it's just beautiful, and it continues to the next generation.
It does. And it is the power of story. So your first series of books is called the Christy Miller series. It follows a young girl named Christy who moves from the Midwest to California. And, you know, the thing that was really great to me, Robin, about Christy is that she's what the current trend is calling. See, you were ahead of the game. She's adorkable. Like, that's what they call this, right? Like, she is doesn't have it all together.
Yes.
She feels awkward. Like, I will never forget, you know, the whole green bathing suit drama. Like, and, you know, having your hair all messed up on the beach and feeling so self-conscious about that, all of these real emotions that teenage girls face. And the characters in your book are not perfect, but they're in church, they're going to youth group, and they're, you know, struggling to find their own faith and make it their own. And so what would you like to say? Because now you've written these where she started off, I think she was 14, right, when the series starts, and it goes all the way through high school, through college, and then the married years and the baby years. So I feel like I've grown up with Christy. So tell us about how this series has really just, you know, grown over time.
I just feel like I know the characters, and they kind of like swirl around in my imagination, and I have the opportunity to write the next book, and I think, well, I'm going to pop these characters into that book and just keep their story going, really, is how it's been over the years. But then I've written other books as well that had just a real strong place in my imagination and in my heart, that they were the kinds of books that needed to be written at that time. Mm-hmm. And one of them, I'll just pop it in here now and then you can refer to it later, but sure. The most recent book that came out is nonfiction. And what one of the sweetest things about it is that it's distributed by Focus on the Family. And here it is, all these years later, after starting with them, with the Christy Miller books, and then now to have a nonfiction book with them. And it's called, the title of this new book is called Before Your Tween Daughter Becomes a Woman. And the reason I wrote it was because of so many conversations with moms who were slightly terrified that their daughters are starting to grow up so quickly, and they just don't know how to keep in connection with them, how to help explain to their daughters what's going to happen to their body as it changes. And so it was a real, again, it's just my Mama Robin voice coming alongside and saying, here's all the things I've talked to groups or moms groups or with friends, young moms. Here are the things I've said that might be helpful to them. So we have some of those copies to give away before your tween daughter becomes a woman.
We do, and we're going to give those away right now. We're going to give them away to the first two callers who call in. So you can call in at 888-589-8840, and Robin is going to give away two copies of this book, Before Your Tween Daughter Becomes a Woman. I have this book. Of course, I read it. Now, my tween daughters had already become teens, but I still found so much encouragement and affirmation, like, oh, I did this okay, or oh, I didn't do this okay, but it is going to be okay. And I love that you write all along the lifespan and for all kinds of different women. And so maybe if you're a grandpa out there, or you're my father-in-law who's listening, hey, Dad, how are you? You're thinking, what does this have to do with me? Well, this is a great opportunity to buy a Valentine's Day gift or a Mother's Day gift or a gift for your daughter, your granddaughter, your wife who might want a book to read. So you can check out all of Robin's books that she has, and you can find those on her website. That's Robin Gunn with two N's, GUNN.com, and you can find those books. Now, Robin, one of the things I want to talk to you about is that, you know, we talk a lot about boys facing the threat of pornography today. And it's important to know that there are girls who struggle with that too. But something that I see normalized more in teen girl culture today is reading romance novels and those that are not G-rated. And it's really kind of something that people don't talk a lot about. But I mean, I started looking and seeing there are a lot of mom blogs you can find, and there are a lot of teen magazines you can find that encourage this and say, hey, this is a great, healthy way to learn about relationships. And some of the advice that some of the blogs were giving was kind of shocking to me, you know, just saying that, hey, this shows characters with agency and it shows you how to own your own power and things that are really antithetical to what we're trying to teach them with a biblical worldview. And I think that, you know, it is a gateway, and that is shown, that is pretty evident, that it's a gateway to things that are perhaps more explicit. And I think it can cause you to be dissatisfied in your own relationships because you have this unrealistic portrayal. And one of the things that I love about your books is that it portrays romance with innocence, but also realism in the way that God intends for these relationships to be. And so Christy, of course, her love interest is Todd, although there are lots of other things out there. But I know that even when I talk to people who are fans of your work, Robin, who have read your book, we can just say, oh, I'm waiting, I'm praying for my Todd. We want a guy like Todd to come into our life. What do you love about that? How do you think that teen girls can be encouraged by reading the stories that you have written? And what guidance do you have for setting those standards for the books we read today? Because I think you were a trailblazer way back when. You are the mama of Christian fiction in Brazil. We're getting it straight from you. But you saw that way back then, and it's that nothing has changed. So how do we as moms help guide our daughters, especially in what they select to read?
So this also connects to the book we just talked about, because again, it's the book before your tween daughter becomes a woman, even if you have a teenager. But what is in that book, you will find ideas and suggestions for how to start those conversations. And that's the baseline of all of this, isn't it, Jessica? We have to have those conversations with our daughters. And we, as moms, and not maybe having such a great childhood ourselves, mm-hmm. puts us in a position where we feel inadequate. So that's why I think it rolls over to, well, they're teaching these things at school. I don't have to really enter in a lot. Well, these novels are helping her to kind of understand how a woman's body works because they're more explicit, or whatever rationale. Or these movies that she's watching, she's getting a much more of an education than I had at 13 and 14 years old. But if she has any questions, maybe she'll come ask me. But no, it is the mom's role to enter in to their daughter's lives in ways that open up conversations. You're not just sitting down and having the talk. There it is. Now you know how a woman's body works, or you know what is going to happen next, but rather to start those conversations so that you're building a bridge, and your daughter will always feel comfortable coming across that bridge back to you to be able to ask the next question or to have the next discussion. But it's the mom's role to build that bridge, to really figure out what it is. Even if there's the rolling of the eyes and the slamming of the bedroom doors, it's still your job. You go at it. Okay, that didn't work. What do we do next? Because this is where the breakdown seems to be. And again, I hear so much from women who look over their shoulder and say, well, my daughter's in her mid-20s now, and I was so busy with work. She was always on her phone. I was always trying to solve a problem with her brothers, you know, whatever it is. So that now when this mom feels like I should have some kind of friendship with my daughter, but she just, I don't even know who she is. That's where the communication needs to still be happening and those bridges still being built. But if you're a mom and your daughter's younger, start, be intentional to get those bridges built. There's so many problems, not just with pornography and evocative material in novels and the content of movies, but it's pervasive in this generation. But there are answers. There are options. There are, most importantly, the conversations, so that that young woman in your life, or the young man, your sons, that they have a safe place, a haven they can go to, that someone will answer their questions or help them understand or provide, here, try this book, or here, I found a list of movies that I think would be great for us to watch as a family, and there's nothing embarrassing in, you know, so that it's such a bigger job, as you know. I mean, this is what a lot of what you do is to help mm-hmm. women know, here's how you can be more connected and interactive in your children's lives.
I think one thing that parents often don't know is, you know, we talk a lot about social media and user-generated content, but we're seeing this in the book world too, where it's very easy to create user-generated books. And there are websites and apps where anybody can go on there and write books. And so there are genres like things like fan fiction, where say that, you know, all the world is talking about right now is the celebrity Taylor Swift, right? So you could go on there and write a story where you're writing yourself into the story, and it's there, and there's very little regulation of that kind of content. And I think, you know, when I was growing up, if you wanted a book, you had to go to the library or to the bookstore. But, you know, now we just have, our kids are so saturated with things that are available to them. And also, Robin, one of the things I see that is decreasing in this generation that makes me sad is the love of reading, you know, just reading reading an actual book. Instead, you know, where I would squirrel away and, you know, read a book for hours on end, kids are scrolling through TikTok and Instagram, and they're training their brains to have about a 15 second to 60 second time frame there. And so I think that, you know, nurturing that love of reading and looking at what you are reading, because that is what they'll emulate, is important. And you mentioned focus on the family. I think it's important for parents to know there is a website, a resource called Plugged In. You can go to pluggedin.com, and they review all kinds of media. They review TV shows and movies and books and help to give you some guidance on whether this is a good choice for you. Now, for me, with my teens, I would often have them go to that website when they were older, and then we would talk about that, you know, that content there. But Robin, you know, a lot of this comes from kids do what we do and not what we say so much. And I see a lot of girls who will take novels off their mom's bookshelves. You know, that may be even where they get them from. But you have this covered. You have series for adult women too. I would love for you to tell us about the Sister Chick series.
Oh, that was such a fun series to write. There are 8 books. Each of them are set in a different corner of the world. So it's intriguing and interesting. And I had the joy of traveling to all the places I wrote about. So the first one is set in Finland, then Hawaii, then Mexico, then on to Paris and Venice and Australia and New Zealand and the Netherlands. London. I mean, to have this chance to go on a girlfriend getaway on a trip when I first started writing the books was such a sort of exotic, far-fetched kind of experience. And now it's a lot more common. But I took the 2 friends in each story, different women in each book, and put them out on these adventures, and they discovered how much bigger God was than they ever imagined, and how much he provided for them and cared for them and all the beauty in his world. I have heard from so many women who just love those books because it was like a virtual vacation for them. That was fun. And then also the Glenbrook series I wrote after the Christy Miller books, because I wanted to write pure romance.
Hold that thought. We're going to talk about Glenbrook and Finding Father Christmas, that became a made-for-TV movie with Erin Krakow. Now, you may know her from When Calls the Heart, and so don't go away. We're going to talk about that right when we come back.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Hey friends, welcome back to this conversation with Robin Jones Gunn. She has been sharing her journey as an author to write more than 100 books that have sold more than 6 million copies. She writes books for young women, for teenage girls, for moms, for grandmas, and she just told us about the Sister Chick series, which was going all over the world. And Robin, I want you to tell us about the Glenbrook series before I forget, because I want to make sure we get that in.
Yes, well, the adventure of the Glenbrook series was something given to me in that a publisher called me and said, would you write pure romance novels? We really want to put more books on the shelves that will honor God and have innocent, pure love stories. And we saw that's what you did with the Christy Miller series, so can you do that for young women? So the Glenbrook series has 8 books in it, all of them connected to this little imaginary town in Oregon called Glenbrook. And what's really fun is that the first book in the series was picked up by a production company that wrote a script and produced a Christmas movie for Hallmark that was called A Glenbrook Christmas. It changed very much from the book. It wasn't very much like the book, but it was just fun that it was recognized as, here's the kind of stories that people want to hear. Let's make it into a movie.
That is so exciting. And, you know, Robin, I've shared with you before in reading these books, I read them myself, but when my girls were growing up, when they started in those preteen years, I went back to the Christy Miller series because they really are classic. I'll tell you, the only thing they noticed as we were reading them is they would say, well, why didn't they just text? And I'd say, well, this is before cell phones and the good old days, right? When there were so many things that were better. But I started reading these out loud to my daughters at bedtime. And I read different books to my sons. But there is something really magical about reading out loud to your kids. Now, I'll tell you, Robin, my kids didn't say, oh, are you going to read tonight? I'm so excited. I can't wait for you to read. Now, sometimes they did. I'll tell you, sometimes they would say, ooh, read another one. Don't end. No, you can't leave me there on a cliffhanger. But most of the time it was just, they loved it. And I had to know that, you know, I wasn't going to get that immediate feedback, but there were often times where something would come up and because I was speaking it out loud to them already, they felt so comfortable just right there in the moment saying, well, what's that? Well, what does that mean? Well, what is that? And we can guide them through these situations in a way that was appropriately presented to them in a developmentally appropriate way that honors Christ. But you just told me something in the break, Robin, that I had not thought about. You've gotten letters from dads, or from girls who talk about their dads reading this book. So tell us about that.
Yeah, I've heard from dads who read the Christy Miller books with their daughters. And I'm sure many of them were rolling their eyes and not, you know, just like you're saying, but it was that moment. And the sweetest letter came from a woman who was in her late 20s. And she said, I look back now, and one of the best parts of my early high school years was when my dad read the first three Christy Miller books to me. And I'm sure I didn't give him any encouragement along the way, but it certainly opened up a lot of discussion. And I felt after that I could talk to my dad about boys and understanding how boys think. And so she could see the value after the fact. And that's, again, what we were saying earlier, that this role as parents, we have to step up. We have to step up and figure out how to be intentional and be able to build those bridges with our kids because, it just goes so quickly, as you well know.
It absolutely does. And really, the beautiful thing is you're continuing to tell stories. Two of your books, Finding Father Christmas and Engaging Father Christmas, were turned into TV movies. And as I said before the break, they star Erin Krakow, and listeners may know her as Elizabeth Thornton from When Calls the Heart. And that series was based on, surprise, surprise, a series of books by Jeanette Oak. And I definitely read a lot of her books growing up. So how did your book become a movie, Robin?
What's so fun is that I was asked that so many times. I wrote a little book. It's only 100 pages long, and it's on Amazon as an ebook. And the book is called How My Book Became a Movie. And it just answers all the questions, because there were so many obstacles, as there always are in any kind of production and things, but it was a result of my agent being asked if she had any authors who had Christmas stories. And I'd written a novella called Finding Father Christmas, and my agent sent that to this independent production company that was trying to figure out if they could make a movie that they could submit to TV. And when they came back to my agent, they said, you know, we like this story, but it's not a love story. And we really have to have a love story because we want to submit to Hallmark. And the really great thing was that after that first Christmas novella came out, I was invited to write a sequel, which is titled Engaging Father Christmas. And I wrote it, turned it in, and the editor said, no, it's not, there's not enough romance. You have to rewrite it and get more romance in there. And I said, well, there's no romance in the first one. And they said, yeah, we know. That's why we want the second book to have some more romance. So I rewrote it and turned it in, and she said, no, that doesn't work. It's not really believable. Could you do this and that and rewrite it? So I rewrote that second book a third time. I turned it in, and she said, oh, dear, this is worse than the second version. Could you just start all over? And that was a moment when I had to decide, am I just going to say, I'm sorry.
I'm done.
You finally figured it out. I have no idea what I'm doing, and now everyone will know because I can't write a book, and the whole thing is a sham. And it was just such a moment between me and the Lord to say, I'll do this a fourth time if you want me to, but I am inadequate for the task. Just what do you want me to say? And I prayed my way through writing this fourth version. I turned it in. The editor said, okay, that works. They published it, and I thought, I don't want to hear about that book ever again. I am so over it. And then lo and behold, my agent called and said, yes, so they want to look at the sequel, Engaging Father Christmas, because it is a love story. And that's why the Lord had me keep at it. Now, this call from my agent happened, I think, at least 7 or 8 years after I had finished writing the book. But in that time, there was a growing need for more and more Christmas movies on Hallmark. So when the producers took the first book and the second book, put it together, gave it to their screenwriter, he did actually 3 movies that came out starting in 2016, Finding Father Christmas. The next year was Engaging Father Christmas. And the year after that, 2018, was Marrying Father Christmas. And I had the joy of going on set all 3 times with each movie and meeting the actors. And I even got to be an extra. I did walk-on parts on all 3 movies, and I loved it. And it was just such an adventure and such a sweetness that would not have happened if I had not been so humbled out and obedient to just do the work. And that's what you and I have talked about as writers. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work, and it's always humbling.
Well, I mean, I just wonder, as you're walking on the movie set, thinking that the heart, your writer's heart, came from a little girl's Sunday school class. And now here you are sharing the work that the Lord has put on your heart and messages of hope with millions of people. I think that's absolutely amazing. And just recently, you started co-hosting a podcast, a new podcast called Women Worth Knowing. Now, I want to know, how did this start and what are you learning from it? How is that a different new experience and adventure walking with the Lord?
We moved to Southern California about 3 years ago, and it was both my husband and I had grown up in this area. We have family here, but it was all new. Everything was just readjusting and getting to know people. And a friend said, oh, you have to meet my friend Cheryl. She lives not far from you, and you'll have so many mutual friends. So Cheryl and I went for a walk on the beach one afternoon, and it was like we had been friends since high school. Just so many overlapping moments. And Cheryl's father was Chuck Smith, who started the Calvary Chapels in Costa Mesa. And so Cheryl and I had gone there when I was a high schooler, and we knew so many people connected to Calvary Chapels all over the world and missionaries. And so Cheryl had started a podcast during COVID that her intent was to keep teaching because she couldn't continue teaching the weekly Bible studies. But what she wanted to do, again, this is our theme, Jessica, she wanted to tell stories about real women mm-hmm. who were ordinary women, but they trusted God in extraordinary things that God did because of their surrender to him. So Cheryl had been doing this podcast for about a year, and her co-host moved to Montana. And so soon after Cheryl and I met, she said, you are a storyteller. Will you come in studio and just do this podcast with me? And I love it. We go in studio every week and record, and it's now a radio program as well. It just launched last Saturday, so it airs 3 times during the week. And the letters we get from those listeners are so encouraging because these are women who have every obstacle that all of us have, but they listen to a podcast about a woman who trusted God, and it just built their joy and their trust. And they said, okay, I'm going through this difficult time, but I listened to this story about this other woman you talked about, and I'm back on track. I'm trusting God again. That's it.
Yeah.
Because like I said at the beginning, eternity is in our hearts. We draw near to God and he draws near to us.
Amen, Robin. That is so true. And I've been listening in on your series, and you have covered a lot of very fascinating women. And again, what we talked about before, the power of story is so important here, because we can be inspired by women who God has used to do amazing things. So I want to know, what woman has fascinated you most from this series? Give us a story of the story that you just were most inspired by.
Well, a couple of them that Cheryl has done the research on and talked about really captivated me. Lillian Trasher is one of them, a woman who started an orphanage in Egypt. Just amazing. And I love doing the research and talking about women who are part of Hawaiian history, because I love Hawaiian history. And early missionaries, one of them, Lucy Thurston, that's amazing. That's a good one. I love Lucy said that God, I'm not going to remember the exact quote, but it was in essence that her husband was looking after the people in the village and that God was looking after her. So just this heart for the Lord. Harriet Beecher Stowe is one of my favorite writer women. She wrote, Uncle Tom's Cabin, and it said that Abraham Lincoln said, "You're the little woman who started this great war." Like a novel changed the course of history for America. Powered stories, such power.
Well, my goodness, I can't imagine how that resonated with you and inspired you. Well, if you want to get a copy of Robin's book, you can buy them anywhere books are sold, but you can go to her website, robingunn.com. That's G-U-N-N, two N's in gun, robingunn.com. And you can read about her Christy Miller series. There's a Sierra Jensen series, who's a friend of Christy Miller. Katie Weldon, who is a peculiar treasure. Love that. And then you have Christy and Todd, the married years, the baby years. There's the Glenn Brooks series for young women or not so young women. I love those. The Sister Chick series, if you want to get something that is an adventure and take a vicarious travel around the world, or some of her nonfiction books, Praying for Your Future Husband, Preparing Your Heart for His. That's a great book to get your young adult daughter. There is Forever Friends, a journal. There is A Victim of Grace, When God's Goodness Prevails. I mean, so many books, I cannot even tell you. But go ahead and get some of those books and read. And the next time you want to scroll mindlessly on your phone and watch reels, think, I could be reading a book by Robin Jones Gunn. I could. Robin, thank you so much for joining us. We want to congratulate Scott from Mississippi and Dustin from Ohio, who will both be winning those books and getting a copy of those books from Robin to share with a special daughter or with someone in their life who can be encouraged by the biblical wisdom that you have. Thanks for joining us. We will see you later on this week, and I look forward to it. Have a blessed day, everybody. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.